Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, and then there's Zadok's.
KFNZ, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
ESPN 97.5. You got Lance Zierlein here. Obviously, if I'm the first voice you hear, either John has had an alarm that didn't go off, which doesn't really happen in LA for some reason, or he's in some type of member guest situation where he's playing golf and taking vacation days. In this instance, he's in another country, and we don't know if he's been detained. We don't know if he made it in. He had some really harsh things to say about Canada. He was very derisive in terms of some of his comments, and then he wanted to make nice and go see Vancouver. And so no word yet if they let him in, if they held him at the border, if he got caught muling something into their country. We have not heard anything on that front. So he is not going to be with us today. However, I think he's supposed to be back Monday. I guess he's just doing a quick in-and-out trip to Canada, I guess. I don't know. That's kind of a weird a weird deal, but it is. It's not way far away. I mean, it's not the farthest away from Los Angeles, so I guess you can do a three-day trip. Dell's sitting next to me. We got Sean Mapes here as well, and football season is underway. The Hall of Fame game, I sat out the Hall of Fame game. I didn't watch any of the Hall of Fame game. I did study the box score and did some box score scouting, saw your guy. Carson Beck, longtime Miami Hurricane, had what appeared to be a nice game. At least the statistics told me that. It just feels too early. The Hall of Fame game always feels like, even by preseason standards, you've been in camp for 1 week and you're already playing a game. It's kind of crazy, but I had the official football is back email in my NFL.com email from the head of our business. So. Next up, when I see Roger Goodell send an email to all of us, I'll know it's really officially on. Did you watch any of it, Dell?
I think I saw the end to Carson Beck's second touchdown drive where he dropped it in to, now I don't remember his receiver's name.
Jalen Brooks?
No, that was part of the drive, but he threw a touchdown to number 80 for the Cardinals. I don't remember who it was.
Somebody won't make it.
Some fade route to the corners. It was a good throw, good catch. And that was about it. Sean and I certainly have joked about this game leading in the lead up, saying how much were we going to see. You're a real sicko if you heard the final words of Mike Tirico. Turns out the quarterback play at least led to an exciting finish. I saw the Haynes King highlight run in to close it out. The walk-off touchdown by Haynes King. Miami Hurricane fans everywhere having some PTSD with Haynes King leading late drives.
You know, I got into it with his agent. Not really got into it, just kind of joking around. And Haynes King tested really well. Like, he's a good athlete. And I just kept saying, Ron kept talking about, you know, you're too low on Haynes King. I said, look, if you'll move in a wide receiver, I'll move his grade up.
Did he appreciate that?
I'll move his grade up. No, he had some things to say.
Okay.
I just said, move in a wide receiver. I said, it's time that we moved a white quarterback to wide receiver besides just Julian Edelman. Edelman was the last one that I saw.
Did you say, do you remember Matt Jones?
Yeah, Matt Jones had an NFL career because of it. I'm kind of. But he was, that guy was fast too. So you had the Hall of Fame game going. I don't know if any of you saw that and you want to talk about it. I can't imagine you want to talk about the game, but if you want to, that's fine. I can pretend like I watched it. You do have the Hall of Fame class going in this weekend. Here's the class. And we haven't really talked about this much at all, except just mentioning when they were announced. It's Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, Luke Kuechly, Adam Vinatieri, and Roger Craig. I'm starting from the back working forward. Roger Craig was a great dual threat running back in the Bill Walsh era of the San Francisco 49ers. Tremendous out of the backfield and running the football. Real hot, known for being a real high knee runner. Known for being able to get out of that two running back backfield that they had and make some noise as a pass receiver as well. Rushed for 8,189 yards, 56 touchdowns. From a receiving standpoint, he had a 1,000-yard receiving year in 1985. He had 92 catches for 1,016 yards. And that same year, he rushed for 1,050 yards. So he went 1,000, which was, you know, 214 carries and 92 receptions. So, if fantasy football leagues had PPR back in 1985, and I don't even know if there was fantasy. I don't think there was fantasy football in 85. But if there was, he was a killer if there were PPR back leagues back then, which there were not. So Roger Craig was one of the names that got in.
I'm not out here to disrespect the legacy of Roger Craig, but you pulled up his best year, at least catching mm-hmm. football in the backfield. I'm looking at the numbers.
I mean, he did have 3,000-yard seasons rushing.
This is a product of being on the 49ers, right?
Yeah, some.
Being
yeah.
on that 49ers team.
Well, especially the receiving stuff.
Yeah.
There was a lot of
But even if you just go by, you just laid it out. He played from 83 to 93, mm-hmm. Had less than 8,200 yards, just a little bit less.
Yeah, from 83 to 90 with the 49ers.
And he wound
but that was still a good 8 years.
Yeah. So he wound up with Minnesota for the last couple years of his career. And the Raiders in between. This is because you have three titles in your back pocket with the 49ers.
Probably in that 1,000. I think he's the only guy to ever do a 1,000. That's probably some of it too. 1,000 yards receiving, 1,000 yards rushing.
He's the Troy Aikman of running backs.
Okay. That just said he won time. No. He was way more productive. He was a productive player.
I'm not saying he was. He wasn't, but.
Now, the yards per carry were.
He was surrounded by great players, so I understand why Roger Craig wasn't a featured part of the offense every year. But a total of, you add catching, receiving, a total of, 73 touchdowns? He had a really good career, but this is not a Hall of Fame career.
No, it's. Well, that's why he got in with, kind of a veterans committee,
yeah,
I guess.
This is, because, Roger Craig was a key component of a dynasty.
Yeah, I wouldn't typically make him a Hall of Famer. No, not what I would consider a Hall of Famer. I mean, he was, what made him different was, I mean, he ran the ball. He was, like I said, 3,000-yard rushing seasons, but it was 71 catches, 92 catches, 81 catches. And the average per catch were not huge. He was a high-volume touch guy. But I never thought he was really special. I mean, you have a decent point there. Adam Vinatieri, great kicker, very clutch. I get it. Another winner. Luke Kuechly was a tremendous linebacker. Shut his career down a little bit early due to some injury stuff. Was he worried about head trauma? Is that why he shut it down kind of early?
I don't remember if he was a concussion guy or not.
I feel like Luke shut it down early, if I remember. How many years did Luke Kuechly play?
Because yes, he retired because of his concerns about concussions.
Yeah, I think it was. He did have some concussions.
At 28 years old.
But Luke Kuechly, to show, you know, he got in at 28. Now, there have been other guys who have gotten it in football with shorter careers, but he was a first team. He was the AP Defensive Rookie of the Year. He was first team All Pro 5 times during his career. Second team the other 2 years. So he was unbelievable. Never had a tackle count less than 102, and that was just because he only played 10 games. He averaged 157 tackles a year. He was maybe the most instinctive linebacker I've ever seen. So a lot of fun to watch. You have Larry Fitzgerald, who Larry was one of, you know, my dad got to know him well, and he and Larry, there's an autograph. Larry signed a picture with him and my dad and sent it to my dad when he retired. They had a really good relationship. They'd sit when Larry would get treatment, my dad would go in there, they'd talk politics, they'd talk life. He and Larry had a really good relationship, and he was very close to my mom, actually. Larry Fitzgerald was, and called when my mom passed and talked to my dad for a while. But he was just a tremendous – he's one of the guys that taught you do not have to be fast to be an elite wide receiver. I mean, famously, Jerry Rice ran a slow 40 time whenever he was coming out for the draft, but we know he played really fast. Larry Fitzgerald – he was not going to run by anybody, but his body control, his ability to win the ball in the air. When I do draft stuff, anytime you see a guy who has unbelievable body control and can win the ball when contested, the ultimate name you throw out there is Larry Fitzgerald. And he and Anquan Boldin had a special, those are two guys that couldn't run really. And he was just unbelievable. And then you have Drew Brees, and Drew Brees was number three of the big three during their era. He was a step below, at least in the way people perceive him, Peyton Manning and obviously Tom Brady. But Drew Brees statistically was there with those guys. Drew Brees in Sean Payton's offense was unbelievable. Of course, story, you know, he makes the Hall of Fame. He was the first pick of the second round in 2021. And then, in 2001. And then he is with the Chargers, and the Chargers get rid of him. The Chargers get rid of him because they draft Eli Manning. And he had an arm injury. He had a shoulder injury, if I remember correctly. He was hit while throwing, had a shoulder injury. As you obviously will know, Dell, he came in. The Miami Dolphins were looking at him as an option. Was it Nick Saban back then or no?
It was Nick Saban. It was going into Nick Saban's second year. He came in. Drew Brees was a priority, and the doctors had some concerns. And those concerns, I think Drew Brees told a story. I don't know if it was recently, but it became a thing again recently, where he talked about that thing. He thought he was going to Miami. Nick Saban was there. They're coming off a good first year as far as showing some progression, and he thought, I could join that team. And we can go do some things. And he felt the concern coming from the doctors, and that leaked into the decision makers. So they weren't really all in on Drew Brees. And then he goes to New Orleans. He was talking about he and his wife were in New Orleans, and they were driving the city that was ravaged by Katrina.
Yeah. So he was just driving through there.
Yeah. While as they were meeting with the Saints, they were driving through the city and saw the damage that Katrina had left. And you're looking around going, is this the place we want to play? And then he said he felt something like, this is the place we need to be. And then the Saints rewarded that feeling with being all in on him. And the rest is history. The Dolphins have struggled to find a quarterback since.
Well, you had a pretty good one that year.
Dante Culpepper.
Remember how many great touchdowns he threw to Randy Moss?
Yeah, that knee never really recovered. And then he went someplace else. Came down to Miami and led a victory and kept pointing to his knee after every play he made.
So it was the knee was the concern for him.
And the thought
not the shoulder.
And the thought at the time was, well, Drew Brees has a shoulder injury. You can't have a quarterback with a shoulder injury. Yeah. You'd rather have one with the knee injury. So they went with Culpepper instead.
Oh, and Drew was pointing at the knee?
No. Culpepper. I'm saying Culpepper left Miami, came back.
And then he came and back. Then pointed I was going to say, that knee. Didn't seem like Drew Brees.
No
energy to be trying to taunt the team.
The guy who puts noise canceling headphones on his son to protect his ears was not taunting.
Yes,
But Drew Brees, of course, went on to do great things. I think
never too early to protect your ears, Dale. Do you wear when you go to some of your golf concerts? Do you put anything in your ears?
I don't go to golf concerts. Another added element to the Dolphins story, I believe Danny Cannell's dad was the team doctor. Yes, that Danny Cannell.
Hmm. You know whose dad
used or to be one of the team doctors.
You know whose dad used to be the team doctor for the New Orleans Saints, may still be, is Rhett Lewis from the NFL Network, formerly Rhett Kleinschmidt. So he changed his name for TV. Like
Rick Kleinschmidt.
That's his real name.
Why are you revealing the man's government name?
I'm just taking I'm taking off his wrestling mask. I use his full government.
I hope
took the wrestling mask off. Look who it is.
I hope Rhett treats you like Clay treated KD.
Well, keep
using my full government.
Keep your German name Kleinschmidt, and this won't be a problem. I won't have to out you as a German.
So you're very proud of your German heritage.
I didn't change my name to Lance Davis.
You don't want people obscuring their German heritage.
I didn't name myself Lance Davis, did I?
No, you didn't. Mm-hmm. You're still Lance Zierlein.
I'm not really. Actually, it's just
somehow, some way, that name Zierlein is the least or the less famous Zierlein in football circles. Somehow,
yeah. And the other one spells
because,
it weird.
Yeah, it's spelled
Legatron.
Yeah, but there's Greg who's somehow of all the things he could. You would think the guy who works at NFL Network would have the most famous Zierlein name. Turns out it's a kicker.
Yeah. He made a couple 60-yard kicks. Yeah, that's
he did, and then he just fell completely Legatron. Off the earth.
Yeah.
The nickname Legatron was one of the great nicknames, and now Aubrey and Cam Little, and to a little lesser extent, Kymie Fairbairn, another 60-yard
banger.
They laugh
at Legatron.
They have lapped him. But Drew Brees, a little side note. Drew Brees appeared on the bench with me and John at 6'10 in 1999 when he was at Purdue. I just, as a huge college football fan, I said, let me reach out to Purdue and see if I can get Drew Brees. Because, you know, we didn't have the Texans back then. We had no NFL team. So we really leaned heavy on a lot of college football stuff. And I loved every college team. I knew he was from the Austin area. I didn't know at that time that he wanted to be an Aggie. Like, he was really all in on the Aggies. And I reached out to their media department. They're like, yeah, we'll get him on your Houston radio show. So we had Drew Brees going into his senior year of Purdue on the show. Just kind of a random, just another Hall of Famer joining two other Hall of
Wasn't
Famers.
Wasn't that the era of quarterbacks who the big Texas schools didn't think highly of leaving, and they go on to do great things in other
there
places?
Were, yes, that was the one that got away. Austin wanted nothing to do with them. And A&M was out because he had a knee actually coming out of high school. A&M was like, I don't know, we're going to weekend. I think he had an ACL, just something like that, his senior year. And so A&M passed on him, and they were looking at him, and I think they had offered him and maybe rescinded. So Drew Brees left. Austin wouldn't even give him the time.
Damn, his father played ball at A&M basketball.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because I knew he wanted to be an Aggie. Longhorns didn't want him. Now he's in the Hall of Fame. Chris Sims also does TV where he buttons up his shirt real high.
I was going to say.
He was a Longhorn, so that's kind of.
Yeah, we had Chris Sims and Major Applewhite. We're good.
You did.
You
want Texas to recruit every 5'10" quarterback that comes out of.
All right,
actually,
Mac.
Actually, you're right.
All right,
that's
Mac.
That's the same. That was around the same time that 99 would have been Major, would have probably just made it in, or maybe.
Yeah, it was early Major. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the great Chris Sims came in.
But Major got
changed
there.
Everything.
But Drew Brees, 97. You could have had him before Major, right?
Drew Brees came in. Yeah, he came in 97.
I was kind of thinking 01
that's right.
draft. Yeah, yeah. No,
that's
so
right. I had him before his senior year, after 99, so it would have been maybe early 2000s. All right, let's break it real quick. I think we got Longhorn Scott on the line, so we will talk about Drew Brees. Let me get him now just because it's...
You want to butcher
well,
break
timely.
Early? That no, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, it's timely.
Timely would be going to break.
Well, we're talking about the
well,
issue
no,
of Drew
timely
Brees
is going timely. To break.
And let's see if he remembers it differently, although Drew Brees has already said the Longhorns didn't have an interest in him. But go ahead. What's up, Longhorn Scott?
So, yeah, no, John McAvick had no interest. And you're right, A&M did too. His parents both went to A&M and were athletes there, in short. But so back in 1993, I think it was the summer between my sophomore year of college and my junior year, and I went to work as a camp counselor out at Camp Champions on Lake LBJ, and great place. Tell you, a lot of sort of noteworthy families sent their kids there. Willie Nelson's, I guess, third round of kids were there. Jerry Jeff Walker, the Zales Jewelry Store family. One of the kids that was on the dinosaur show, the purple dinosaur, whatever.
Barney?
I love you, you love me. Anyway.
Barney.
Yeah, yeah. One of the kids that was on that show. Anyway, so in 93, though, I get assigned to this cabin of 14-year-old kids, and they're all from Austin, Westlake, and one of them is Drew Brees. And so thing is the guy was just a phenomenal kid. His younger brother went there too, Reed, and Reed was in my cabin 3 years later. But in 93 and 94, both two summers in a row, I had Reed, or Drew, and all the other guys from his grade. And, you know, you could tell he was a good athlete, but he had not played organized football until his freshman year of high school. And that summer, I said, hey, buddy, see that odd-shaped brown ball there? Why don't you grab that? Come with me. I'm going to show you how to throw it. Okay, that may not have happened, but nonetheless, it was interesting. But great kid, big family. Obviously, kind of side stories with all that, but for another day. But no, McAvick didn't want him. But you're right, Gaggy's didn't want him. It is what it is. Everyone likes to roast people for not taking players. There's always a lot of dynamics for why that works out. But to say the least, him going up to play for Tepper up at Purdue turned out to be a pretty darn good scenario. It worked out pretty well for him. Yeah. So that's it. No trash talk today, boys, but it's coming.
All right. I know. I'm sure it's coming. Yeah, it was Joe Bell mentioned. It was Joe Tiller. And Tiller was famous for bringing a passing offense into the Big Ten. Big Ten was like, what in the hell is this nonsense? And, Aggies did want him until his senior year where he got hurt, and then they're like, beat it, Drew. Go to Purdue. And now he's in the Hall of Fame. All right, 720. We come back. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's trash talking. Not the players, but the front office. He was asking a question. He had some things to say. And Nick Caserio joined Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show, which you can hear right here on this radio station after Dell and Sean are done at noon. And he had some comments as well. We'll let you hear those when we come back. Keep it right here on ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we have a listener appreciation party giveaway coming up in the 8 o'clock hour and the 9 o'clock hour. Mike Sando from The Athletic is going to join me and Dell to talk about his quarterback tier list. As you know, as you may know, if you've read it or been listening to the show, as we've discussed it, He had 50 different NFL coaches, former head coaches, general managers, former general managers, offensive coordinators, and defense coordinators. And he surveyed them, and he gave them a chance to vote for Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, or Tier 4. Tier 1 is you win because of this guy can carry a team, blah, blah, blah. Tier 2 is sometimes the guy can do it, you know, and so forth. And after his rookie year, C.J. Stroud ended up in Tier 1. The next year, he ended up in, after his second year, before last year, he ended up in Tier 2. And then this year, he's fallen another tier to Tier 3. So a majority of the votes, a high majority, that's like 37 of the votes, or maybe more, I think 38, had him in Tier 3. Not a great tier. The 20th. Kind of an average starting quarterback, if you will. So that's the 20th ranked quarterback. And these are league people. These are people who are currently or have done it in the league recently. And they don't love what they've seen from CJ. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Yesterday, Nick Caserio for the first time was with Rich Eisen. And the topic came up about contract and CJ Stroud. Listen to this and see if this changes your thoughts about what may or may not happen with the Texans and C.J. Stroud before the end of the year.
C.J. Stroud is now in a position to get a contract extension. Where are you on that front?
Yeah, I mentioned this in kind of my introductory press conference here in training camp. I'd say, you know, we've had some productive discussions over the course of the spring here. I think C.J., you know, the first 3 years, he's done a really good job for us. D'Amico and I have both talked about this. We're glad he's our quarterback. And we understand there's a business side of football. So I'd say we're working through that. But, I mean, overall, like I said, we've had productive conversations with his representatives. So my sense is we'll work through it here during the course of training camp. And if an agreement comes to fruition, great. If it doesn't, you know, we kind of understand where we are moving forward. But you know, CJ's, I mean, I've said this on some different shows, but he had his best off season. I'd say he's having one of his better training camps as well. And I think you're seeing a growth and a maturation and development of a player, which you see throughout the course of their career. So, I mean, sometimes we lose track of, in his particular case, he's still a young player. I mean, he's played three seasons going into his fourth season, but every year you kind of start over. And, you know, we're working through training camp right now, but I mean, overall, CJ has done everything that we've asked him to do. You know, there's a business component of this, and that's something that, you know, that's part of, in the end, my responsibility and my job, and, you know, we'll work through it here and see, you know, and see what happens here moving forward.
Oh, no, anything stand out that you don't already know, Dell?
No, I got to admit, halfway in, yeah, you know, Nick just saying stuff, I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
It's fair. That's fair.
I heard it, like, they'd love to get something done, and if not, they're fine with that.
You knew he's not going to come with some banger in the middle of there where he's like, but, you know, we're getting close, and stay tuned. It was nothing like that. Nick said exactly what you think he's going to say. he did it on the national level. I will say, talking to people who are at camp on a regular basis, and I saw him when I was there last Saturday. I can only go see practice on Saturday. CJ has played better. Like, CJ has been noticeably sharper, much more consistent. The offense in general has been much more consistent against the defense. So in year two in Nick Caley's offense and with some new players in tow, the offense is already way ahead of where they were last year and much more competitive against what is considered an elite defense. So I think that's something to keep your eye on. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, speaking of Nick Caserio, you guys remember Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? He had a little sip of iced coffee with some oat milk and one packet of Splenda when he was here. And it, you know, he has a hard time staying in any place more than a year. He's not really, teams don't seem to like him a lot per se. And he was asked, he's with Buffalo now, and he was asked about week one going in to see his old friends with the Houston Texans. He talked about the players a little bit, who he doesn't seem to have any problems with at all. But the front office is another matter.
I'm glad you asked about that Texas show. You got me pissed now.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate you.
They're good. Is that a good thing?
That's a great thing.
Okay, what happened? You said there were lies, like the way things ended.
Y'all still ain't got no confirmed real story from what really happened. Let's talk about that.
You want to talk about it?
I'm like, well, where's the real story? What did I really do?
They released you in September after you had, I think, a leg injury in August, right?
They released me because I wasn't gelling with the team and I didn't fit well. Well, why hasn't the coach spoke up about it?
On the field or off the field, they say you didn't fit well.
After the loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, they said I didn't fit well. And I was already starting 0-3, so how can it possibly be on one person?
So now you're going to be fired up week one. I'm feeling it.
Nah, Josh handled it up and the defense handled it up, so we'll do what we got to do. I mean, that's a good team. I'm not putting nothing past them. It's just the situation, that how they handled me, and it just wasn't respectful. So as a grown man, I feel like when you see me, you see me.
Okay. One of the things supposedly was he had a horrific defensive play, and he was struggling picking up the defense, some of the responsibilities and coverage. That was what I heard from a pretty good source, that coverage responsibilities were a big part of it, were a problem, but also that he is an abrasive guy. At the end of the day, he wasn't a D'Amico guy. I mean, he's just not. You're either on board and you're all for one, one for all, you're part of the team, or you got your own thing going on. And if you got your own thing going on, if you're going to be an independent contractor, I wouldn't look for D'Amico Ryans to lock in on you, especially if you can't cover.
Well, you'll see him when he sees you.
He sees you, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Don't worry about it. You, along with all the other disrespectful Texans affiliates, surrogates, will see him when you see him.
Josh Allen will handle that.
Yeah, you heard.
He'll handle the Texans like he always does.
Yeah.
Will he handle them in Houston?
Josh and the defense will handle it. Don't worry about it.
Will you? Okay.
That's what he said.
I'm looking forward to this. I mean, are they still the favorite? The Buffalo Bills are still.
I bet you they are.
The Buffalo Bills are still, last I saw, they were 1.5-point favorite. As I look it up right now in this day and age, as John would say, we look at the Super Bowl divisions. Nope. I don't have it right now, but I'll look it up. But I'm sure they're still the favorite over the Texans in what I believe to be one of the worst point spreads that I've ever seen in a week one game. There's no reason the Texans should not
be. They remain a 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Texans should be a 2-point favorite, but we'll see. We'll see the line move closer to the game. As word starts to leak out how good CJ looks, as I get that word out there more, this number will move.
Mm-hmm.
As the truth starts to surface about CJ having a great offseason. And Nick Cassera, I'm surprised he didn't move the didn't kind of manipulate the market there on Rich Eisen's show saying CJ's had one of his best off seasons.
Then why aren't they giving him $58 million?
It's not that good.
Oh.
Not that good.
Oh, got it. Got it.
Yeah. That Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, it's good, not that good. By the way, interesting. I'm looking at another site right now that has the Houston Texans minus a half, which I don't usually see that point spread, but the Houston Texans are minus a half just in case there's a tie. So I'm already seeing the line has moved towards the Texans' favor.
FanDuel says hold on. FanDuel says we're not moving that far despite how great CJ's offseason has been.
And they're still 1.5?
Yeah.
That's failing FanDuel. They failed to hit their earnings potential.
Failing FanDuel?
Yeah. They failed to hit their earnings numbers also. So their stock, like DraftKings, went down. I'm sure prediction markets have something to do with it. 7:33. We break it right here. The Houston Astros will jump into the Astros a little bit. I also saw the Odyssey.
You said you had a problem with Helen of Troy?
Yeah. Scarred face.
Oh. What you had.
Why do I see John Bernthal? All that stuff like.
You mean Menelaus?
I can't. Helen of Troy. This isn't what happened. And then the Song of the Sirens, did they even get authentic sirens? Like, what are y'all? Just watch a movie. Oh. Why are y'all crying about
authentic
everything?
Authentic sirens?
Yeah. You got to know that they were the real sirens.
Actually drive people insane in the movie theater?
Yeah. Like, are they real sirens? The ones they have to they historically had? Was the Cyclops, was that a real, like the times of the Cyclops, was that historically accurate? The Cyclops, was he even historically accurate? Who played the Cyclops? I had to worry about who was cast as a Cyclops. Luckily, he was cast properly. But, that was a long movie. It was good. I'll give my thoughts on it coming up in a second. I like to see movies about 3 weeks after they come out and then give my opinion.
Everyone's already talking about it.
Next week, I'm going to talk about Spider-Man next week.
Cool.
Midway through the film, I said, is Temeculus or whatever his name was, is that Tom Hardy?
Tom Holland?
Yeah, Tom. I might have said Hardy, actually.
No, it is not Tom Hardy.
Definitely not.
I know who Tom Hardy – I know who the psychopath Tom Hardy is. I did say Tom Holland, I think. And my wife goes, yes, what? And she doesn't even watch shows. Like, she has no pop culture reference at all. And she goes, yes, how did you not know that? I said, I don't know. I just know he's a weaselly little English guy. Well, he's not weaselly.
Temelicus,
we like him.
Not Temeculus or whatever you said.
What's his name?
Temeculus. Temeculus.
Yeah.
Of Temecula.
Yeah, of Temecula in California. That's where I got that from.
Fought about Kobe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get my thoughts here in a second. 7:36 here. If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. Let's talk about Dr. Michael Kaplan, the king of the balloon sinuplasty, the nasal procedure. And my son and I talked about it. He's going to come back from school sometime in November and have it done. He's not in school. He's just working on a football program, but he is going to come back and have the procedure done. This has been a big issue for him that's lasted a long time. And I didn't know about this procedure until I spoke with Dr. Kaplan at a lunch. And I said, hey, I want to come in and get the scan of my nasal cavity and see what it looks like. And I got to see it. It doesn't take long for them to scan it. I got to see the results. And it wasn't great. It was a lot, but some people have it way worse than I do. And when you get the sinus, when your cavities are packed, the back of your cavities are packed, it can cause headaches. It can cause constant pressure. It can cause a ringing in the ears. Just your overall ability to take in breath is through the nasal passages and smell and things like that. It can really be impacted. And he went in, cleaned that up for me with the balloon sinuplasty. He's one of the pioneers in this procedure, and it changed everything. On a daily basis, I wake up now, and everything is clear. And if I need to blow my nose just a little, it's very minimal in terms of the issues I have. And I'm never unable to breathe out of my nose, ever, never. It's been a huge game changer. I want you guys to go in, if this is an issue for you, and get scanned. and find out whether or not this is right for you. Recovery is very, very quick, and you're back at work just like, or you can pretend like, oh, I got to take the week off, guys. I'm having this procedure. Just know you're actually going to be up and around the very next day anyway. It's an outpatient procedure. It's Dr. Michael Kaplan, the Kaplan Sinus Relief. Go to KaplanSinusRelief.com and set up your appointment today.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:40 here on ESPN. I'm sorry, 7:42 here on ESPN 97.5. So, look at a quicker segment. I saw The Odyssey for the first time. For some reason, it got started late in the theater. And then the lead up, I guess it was like 25 minutes. We're now up to 25 minutes of pre-movie stuff going on. And comfortable recliner seats in that the spot off of Westheimer, the Regal. Not a lot of people in the theater, so it was nice. That's kind of how I like to do things. And
IMAX?
No, those were filled up.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably why I didn't have a lot of people in mind. Those were filled up. Man, the difference in price, they were like 33 a pop, 34 a pop, and the other ones were 15, I think. It was more than double the price. And I wanted to see it in IMAX.
Well, because I don't think IMAX gets matinee prices or something like that.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Well, none of these prices.
Oh, really?
I don't think. It didn't say they were. Maybe they were, but I can tell you the 33 definitely was not a matinee price. So I looked at it at Marquee Entertainment Center on I-10, and then this, you could forget it. Seeing those seats were all sold. Is that how you saw it, Sean?
Yeah, I saw it the Thursday.
How many times have you seen it? Just once?
Twice.
Okay, did you see it in that format both times?
I saw IMAX both times. Not the full 70 millimeter. I didn't drive to Dallas.
Well, so, no. Yeah, no. Where did you see it, Dale? On a regular?
I saw it on what they called their XL screen at AMC, not IMAX. I may have seen maybe one movie in IMAX. It's not the draw that for me that it is for others.
Well, I'm curious if it's that big a difference. My son said he saw it in both, and he didn't think it was worth paying the extra. Like, it wasn't worth breaking my neck to try to sit in a crowded theater in the front of
People are being a little unreasonable with the, like, especially the 70 millimeter IMAX, where it's like in London it's completely sold out until like September. I'm like, all right, guys, it's not that big of a deal, guys.
Yeah, come on, you don't have to fight Odysseus.
Yeah,
this is not, what do you think this is gonna do for you? I thought it was a good movie.
I want to smell the cheese from the tunnel, the cave of the Cyclops. That's why I want to go to IMAX.
Heard good things about that cheese.
Yeah.
So where do you rank it with Christopher Nolan movies? For me, and I'm trying to think, you have which is the Batman he did? It was really good.
He did Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises.
Okay. He did the entire trilogy?
Yeah, it was his trilogy.
Okay. Well, he was...
Dark
was
Knight's really, the one that's like...
But Dark Knight was really... That was really good.
The Joker.
Yeah, people. That was really, really good. Inception. I liked Inception. I needed to see it the second time to catch up with some of the things because I'm ADD. I didn't love the one with Denzel Washington's son in it. It was okay.
Tenet?
Yeah, Tenet. It was okay. What else am I missing?
Prestige.
Memento.
Memento.
Oh, that's right. Now, I loved Memento. Memento must have been his first one.
I think it was early. I don't know if it was his first one. But
maybe his first big
Memento
one.
Was when my wife and I were dating. And we saw it. So that was way back in the day, but it was...
Did you promise that you'd go on a killing spree for her if she wound up dead?
Even if I did.
Even if you did it or maybe didn't do it, who knows?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't promise that. And I didn't. I have no tattoos also.
Okay.
Yeah,
but I am also
forgetful.
I am also forgetful.
He should get the tattoos.
I am somebody who probably needs to tattoo stuff just to be able to remember, like Guy Pearce. And I saw Guy Pearce. Well, interestingly enough, there's a Guy Pearce movie that was featured before the show. I thought this was probably his best movie of all of them. I know you nerds are going to say Dark. I know you're going to say Dark Knight because you're contractually forced to say it.
Wow,
you're contractually forced to say Dark Knight.
I didn't
say
sign
it. Say
anything.
Dark Knight.
I didn't sign anything.
Say
to
Dark,
say
Dark Knight.
I don't have to say Dark
Knight. Say Dark Knight.
I like the Prestige. How about that?
You're trying to be
no.
a hipster. You're trying to be a
I'm not Raheel. You think I'm Raheel. I'm not Raheel.
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
You're trying to be a hipster.
No, I'm
Sean,
not.
Let me get a real answer from you. You're a Dark Knighter.
Yeah, I mean,
which I actually like.
I mean, I was
too.
Also 13 years old when the like one of the best Batman movies ever came out. That's like the strike zone for that.
That's true. But I'd like. Do you like
flips
this second?
A, he flips a truck. In
do you
movie.
Like this second?
Yeah, this and Oppenheimer. I probably need a.
Oppenheimer was a good movie.
Yeah, I kind of think he's peaking right now with and obviously he's like
but
very focused
angle.
On one thing.
That's why I like Christopher Nolan movies. There's edge to all of his movies. Like every movie has some edge to it. He does like to mess around with the timelines.
Yeah, which he does in this one.
Dead Wise.
Yeah.
He loves a dead
loves a
he
dead
loves
wife.
A dead wife.
Loves a dead wife.
I didn't think about that.
We mentioned Memento.
Yeah.
The Prestige features a dead.
Not Oppenheimer.
I don't know if she's a wife, but she's a dead significant other.
His side chick dies in Oppenheimer. Florence Pugh, R.I.P.
Yeah. Inception.
In the bathtub.
There's an Inception.
Was there a dead wife in Inception? There's no dead wife
Leo,
though.
Leo's hunting.
Cotillard.
There's nothing he could do about the Odyssey. It's already been written. There's nothing he couldn't
it's well established. Penelope was alive.
Yeah, he couldn't.
But he thought about killing her.
Yeah, he's like,
how do I make
what
this work?
What can we do?
Is there a translation where you can kind of think she's dead?
Is there something where we somehow she drinks poison and like, no, that's Shakespeare. You're not going to be able to do this. Shakespeare's the one where he kills off all the people at the end. I don't want to spoiler alert.
We already
kind of
spoiled the Odyssey, too.
Yeah, sorry, guys. The wife lives in this one. But does Odysseus, I guess we'll see. Matt Damon did, he pulled it off, though, in that role. I wasn't sure if Matt Damon would pull it off. I mean, I figured he would.
One
he doesn't
of the
ever
great
miss.
American actors?
Yeah, he doesn't really miss very often.
Is very
really,
few that we have.
Is he really one of the great American actors?
Think about it. He's competing against a lot of non-Americans as far as Hollywood stars go.
An astonishing amount of non-Americans.
He is one of the best American actors of
your boy
a generation.
Tom Holland, not from here, but speaking like he just the problem I told you yesterday. This is ridiculous. The week just can't cast more American actors. That Tom Holland has to come in, take our women.
Take our women.
Zendaya.
She's one of our women.
She's not English.
She ain't one of yours.
She's American. Yeah, she's USA.
No.
USA.
No,
oh, yeah.
No,
she's
no,
country
no, no,
first.
No. You should go up
she's
to,
not one of yours all the way either, Bill. You can't take that claim. You can't claim Zendaya
first of all
the way.
First of all, as a person who respects women, we don't own them.
She's one of Steph Curry's.
But if we... No.
Oh, no, actually, she's not.
No.
I can't remember what her heritage is.
Doesn't matter.
But it's not your heritage. You don't get a claimer. She's not one of yours.
You certainly don't.
Yes, I do. No. As an American.
No.
If there was an Olympics for actresses, she'd be USA. So I would, I assume.
Sorry.
So, yes, I can claim her.
I would.
One of mine.
Have you seen yourself in the mirror?
Yeah, she's one of mine.
I would tell you to stop saying. I'm going to say stop saying that.
Zendaya is one of mine.
Ooh.
So is
who?
Well, not
go
Tom,
on.
Not Tom Holland.
Go on.
Not Tom Hardy. Not Matt Damon. One of us.
Well, more so than Zendaya.
No. Where was she born? Somewhere in California.
Doesn't matter.
Probably.
You should. You know what you shouldn't do? Say a black woman is one of yours.
You know, he likes to take everything and try to bring it into.
I'm trying to help him, and
he
keeps going.
To bring it into.
I'm
an
trying
uncomfortable,
to help you.
He likes to take it into an uncomfortable conversation.
I keep saying you shouldn't say it. You shouldn't
born
say
in
it.
Oakland, California. Nothing's more American than Oakland, California.
No, I didn't. I wasn't
all American.
I wasn't
West Coast
confused about her nationality. I didn't think, well, maybe she's from Mozambique. I know where she's an American. I'm just saying, you should stop.
Her parents, Claire Sturmer, German. I'm going to look up her mom. If I can't, please let her
mom is white.
I know, but I want to see that she's actually from German.
From Germany? You think if she's born in Dusseldorf?
Oh, if she's from Germany, one of us.
Just send papers, please, on Zendaya's
mom? I'm not going to ask for papers.
Well, you sound like you are.
Do you have your papers? I'm not going to ask for her papers. I'm just going to
ich bin der von Klon und Unstein Teig
der. Let's see.
Yeah, yeah. No, we got a W there. That last name that last name is German.
You and Bastian Schweinsteiger got a W?
That last name is
Thomas
German.
Thomas Müller and him got a W.
Klaus Stürmer.
As big as your World Cup win in 2014.
So she's one of me, and she's not, although her dad's.
Her dad's what?
Her dad's name.
I'm just going to say probably not German.
No.
No. Her dad's name, interesting.
He's got roots
enough,
in Nigeria, his dad.
Yeah.
Her dad.
Kazembe Azumu Coleman. But the Coleman at the end kind of threw you off a little bit there.
Well, her dad has roots in Nigeria, so.
Yeah. Okay. She belongs to this room.
I don't like.
Me and Dell. She belongs.
I'm not co-signing.
To this room.
I'm just telling anyone who's listening, not co-signing.
Zendaya belongs to this room.
Nope.
Me and Dell specifically.
Nope.
Heritage.
Nope. Not what? Heritage? Mm-hmm. Nah. This Sean and you can have this conversation. I'm out.
Nope. Dell, she's both of ours.
No, she's
not. Yeah, literally.
She's not one of mine.
She's literally.
I have already said ownership.
I'm okay being excluded on this.
Big surprises into ownership of people.
Raheel says, y'all's lists are embarrassing. Top five.
I didn't even make a list. I just picked one.
He said top five. Oh, yeah, he did Interstellar, too. Raheel's big in Interstellar. I liked it. I didn't love it. I'd put that like fifth. He said Interstellar 1, Dark Knight 2, Inception 3, Prestige 4, Odyssey 5. Odyssey's higher than that.
It's one man's list. You can have your own list.
Well, it's just list is wrong. But, and I would also put, and I'm sorry, I'm not putting Prestige in there. I'm putting Memento in there.
That's fine.
There we go.
No one's going to argue with you.
Clean that up for everybody.
I'm glad we figured things out. Raheel's list is invalid because you don't value his opinion, and you think you own Zendaya.
I'm going to give, when we come back, I'm going to give Sean some really good news.
About the Longhorns?
About someone I own?
Oh, do you own someone too?
Go digging through the records?
Did you pay money to Texas?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
I did.
Then I would say you have some ownership.
Okay.
You can put the sticker on your car and everything. Do they hit you up as for Texas exes? Do they try to make you give them more money?
I hit unsubscribe every time I can.
Yeah, you have to. Hey, Sean, I was wondering, could you maybe give Texas some money? We're a little light. Can you give us some money? No, Texas, I can't give you
money.
Tulane sends me stuff. I'm like, I didn't even finish at your school. Stop calling me an alumni. Stop trying to get me to give you money, unless you want to give me an honorary doctorate. And then in that case, I'll kick in 500.
Doctors ain't Lance.
I'll kick in 500 if I can be doctor. And that's only so I can say it during the radio show that I'm a doctor. To make
Trust
Dell
me, I'm a doctor.
And John say Dr. Zerline, that's the only reason
make,
I would do that.
You would never make me
if
say
I had
that.
An honorary doctor,
I would
you,
never, I
you
would
have to call people,
no,
sir,
no, you don't.
If they're knights, you have,
I really
they're
don't. Knighted,
you have to call them sirs and doctors.
I don't
have
to call some dude
if
in England.
If I get a doctorate.
I don't have to call someone from England, sir, because.
If you do, that's the rule.
Or what?
If you're English, you do.
I think we fought a war over not having listened
if
to the
If you're English, you have
How
to call Sir Elton
I'm not English.
I know, but if you're American, you have to call somebody a doctor.
That's not the same. No, I don't.
Yes, I do. If Wharton County Junior College were to give me a doctorate, or Austin County, or Austin ACC, then you'd still have to call me Dr. Zerline.
I would not, though.
You have to. If somebody has a doctorate
There's
in their
no
name,
rule that says that. There's no rule that says I have to. You don't have to.
I'm just telling you, if you're a school and you want to give me a doctorate, please do, so I can force him and John to call me Dr. Zerline on the show.
You can't force any of us to do that. It's not happening.
If it's on there, you have to say it.
I feel like you should try it.
I say your last name. I say your last name properly.
No, you don't.
I don't. It never comes up. But when I do, I say Olalea now.
Yeah, that's
out of respect. You should say Dr. Zer. I mean, if I get,
and that's
hypothetically, if you were to get a
when and if I get this doctor,
and that's the rub. I don't respect you, so I won't do it.
No, that's
there's a difference.
We'll call HRMP. I want to talk about HRMP.
That's not your.
If you want to sick HRMP on some of your people that aren't respecting your,
why are you? Well, I guess you want to give them free stuff. You can, but that's not your ad.
7:55 here on ESPN 97.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.